Thank you for checking out Random Musings from the Clinical Trials Guru. It really means a lot to me that you're listening to this podcast. If you listen and you like the content, then make sure you subscribe, make sure you leave a review. Please do that. And also go check me out on some of my other platforms. I have a long-running YouTube channel. I've got a blog, theclinicaltrialsguru.com. If you're interested in becoming a CRA or you're interested in getting a career in this industry, go to thecraacademy.com. If you're a research site owner interested in getting more studies for your site or negotiating better contracts for your site, go to my blog, theclinicaltrialsguru.com, and check it out. I offer consulting services. If you're a pharma, biotech, life sciences company, a CRO, I own a startup CRO, and we're here to help you, whatever it is you want. If you're a CRO, we can white label a lot of services for you. We have CRA coverage across the country at cost. We can do this at scale. If you're a pharma company, we are a full service CRO, and we're very confident in our pricing, and we are extremely competitive at bidding. And if you're also interested in your own digital marketing and leveraging a podcast maybe for yourself, reach out to me, dan@theclinicaltrialsguru.com. Again, thank you very much and enjoy the show. Hello, 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 everyone. Welcome to episode 169, Chris Auber. These 160s have been horrible for me. What? It's the longest I've ever, I don't know for a fact, but it seems like the longest
10 episode
number that I've been stuck on forever. It's like we're never out of the 160s.
Does this have anything to do with your trip to Spain?
Yeah, but even before that, it had to do with just a bunch of other stuff I'm doing that some I'm still behind on, like our clinical scoop business plan.
Yeah.
Had an interesting call today with a CRA.
A number of interesting calls.
Yeah, yeah. Capped by, well, I guess, two good calls on the bookends, and then some good ones in the middle, and some funny ones.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if there's time for that funny one.
Yeah, we don't need to get into that.
Or if this is the place for it. But no, I'm not even gonna do it. Not gonna do it. 169. The first call we did. Mm-hmm. CRA.
Mm-hmm.
Not gonna mention where, but Midwest. Wants to open a site. Been a CRA for 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
Very nice person.
Mm-hmm. Seems to be. Yeah.
Very smart person.
Okay.
Sees the writing on the wall.
What writing's that?
This is what this episode will be.
The writing on the wall.
What is this writing
is
on the wall?
Is that the name of the episode?
Yeah, why not? The writing on the wall is in.
Okay.
The CRA position is evolving, changing. We're in the transition phase. Yes? Would you agree?
Yes, but hasn't this been specifically to what this person was talking about? Hasn't this kind of been, they've been trying to implement this for a decade now?
Not a decade. No, no. The risk-based monitoring is what we're talking about, and remote monitoring, and sort of all these things like artificial intelligence, which, by the way, other industries are doing as well. Big data, AI, and in our industry, risk-based monitoring and remote monitoring. So technology, basically, combined with analytics and AI capabilities are transforming every industry.
But specifically risk-based monitoring, I've heard speak of this for...
Not a decade, though.
At least 7 years.
First time I heard this word was in 2012, 2013.
No.
When I really understood it was like 2015. Yeah, it's a new concept. It's a new idea. I'm sure there was white papers written like maybe 10 years ago. But we're actually, now in 2018, we're actually seeing it implemented.
Sure.
Right? We can agree on this.
Yeah.
It's in the early, we're in the transition phase.
Mm-hmm.
The industry, or pharma, pharma doesn't care. Pharma just wants to save cost on research. CROs, they, while telling their CRAs that they're valued and that their jobs will never go away, are at the same time implementing these tactics, which will eventually, again, in my opinion, but also many others, either phase out the work of CRAs, or more likely, change the role to the point where it starts affecting salaries.
Sure, and if,
and not in a good way for the CRAs.
And if you have industries like fast food who recognize that labor is the most expensive part of your costs, right? They're all businesses. They all want to save money, mm-hmm. right? So how can we eliminate cost of labor, right?
Right.
We implement risk-based monitoring, as you said, AI, anything that's possible.
So there's good and bad, as with every disruption. And in our industry, things move so slow, you're going to have, unless you're just trying to ignore and stick your head in the sand, you'll have plenty of time to adjust.
Well, I mean, in my opinion, and you correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah, and first of all, let me just say, it's 2018. In 2028, we're still going to have CRAs, in my opinion.
Well, I think you'd go much...
But they'll be different. They'll be doing different things, and I think they'll be getting paid less.
I would agree with that.
Yeah?
Yeah, absolutely. I can't see in the foreseeable future, more than a decade out, absolutely could be wrong, but I can't see eliminating CRAs entirely.
Mm-mm. No, I don't see that either.
Specifically when you discuss, say, oncology studies, right? Mm-hmm. I don't even see how you implement risk-based monitoring in that. With the amount of SAEs there are and all the other very intensive dynamics involved, I don't see how you implement risk-based monitoring at all. Can you? Do you think?
Yeah, you can.
Think so?
You can, yeah. And the way they do it, well... This lady we spoke to, I mean, what did she say? The way she does her site visits today versus just 2 years ago is totally different, right?
Sure.
What did she say?
She was just saying how there's so many more people involved that are handling different aspects of what she used to handle alone that it's taking some of her workload away, in turn, it's also taking away some of her income.
Right. So, but how is her actual monitoring visit different now?
Well, she was specifically talking about risk-based monitoring, right?
Right.
She's just not on site nearly as often.
But not just that. So what she also said was she used to go do 100% SDV.
Right.
Right? Which... And she works for one of these big CROs. I work for a small one. I still do 100% SDV. But all these small CROs do is copy the big ones, right?
Sure.
She works for a big one. We didn't even ask who. It's not important. They're all the same. They now tell her, because of risk-based monitoring, you will look at this subject and these visits. Excuse me. And that's it.
Well, she still has to look at all the EDC for all visits.
Not on site, though.
No, not on site. She just looks at them remotely. Again,
right?
It's remote and risk-based is what it boils down to.
But now they have a team of people doing what she used to do all by herself.
Right, right.
Right? So she goes on site. The algorithm, the AI, spits out what visit and what subjects and what visits to look at while on site. SDR,
yep.
Source data review, which is way more important than SDV, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they'll spit out different subjects and visits for every site depending on all the stuff they're gathering, all the data they're looking at in the EDC, all the stuff that EDC and the AI knows about that site from other studies maybe, if it's like metadata where that site's doing other studies. So they like know where the site's typically make problems,
sure.
Right? All that stuff
I have a question.
Is put in an algorithm. Yes, questions are allowed.
Why do you say SDR is way more important than SDV?
Because I don't have a kid, but you have two. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Your daughter.
Mm-hmm.
She's the older one, right?
Well, I have four children.
No, you're two that live with you now.
Son's the older one.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Your son can do SDV.
Sure.
Guarantee you.
I don't necessarily...
You tell him to look at a piece of paper...
Absolutely you can.
...where it says 120 pounds.
Almost a monkey could do it. I understand where you're going.
Okay.
But that doesn't necessarily mean it's... SDR is more important. Because the CR... The sponsor is going to take whatever data that they collect, which is through SDV.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And that's what they're going to submit to the FDA.
Correct.
So that...
I'm not downplaying the SDV... I guess what I'm trying to say is a machine can't do SDR yet, but a machine can almost do SDV.
Sure.
Okay.
More difficult, I agree. SDR is more difficult.
And when they hire...
It's more important.
The reason why they
hire... In the sense of what you're showing to the FDA. What
sure.
Their final product is.
Sure. The reason why CROs want CRAs with 2 years or more of experience, which we're going to get into right now also, is... Because of the SDR aspects.
Sure.
Because if that wasn't important, they would just hire people off the street.
Can't disagree. Sure.
Right? Because that's... How do you know the site's following the protocol? How do you know the site's following GCP? You can't get that from an EDC. I mean...
Absolutely.
Right?
Sure. So, more difficult.
Yes.
Not more important.
Machine can't do that yet.
More important. I guess the way you're looking at it in terms of more important is it's more difficult, therefore... You have to have the right personnel to do it.
More important, I mean, it's higher value. That's why the CROs pay more for that.
For that job function.
Yes.
Okay.
Because SDV...
I understand
I could hire your son to do it.
Understand that.
Right?
Understand.
What grade is he in?
Seventh.
Yeah, he'd be an experienced SDV. I mean, no problem.
Sure.
All right? Now, so that's what the CRAs are supposed to do now. Well, as technology just continues to improve, and what this person, not me, this is not me and Chris telling you our thoughts, although this is random musings, this CRA herself, and I've heard it from many others in the industry, CRAs, project managers, owners of CROs, people at Sponsor, they are... Obviously, every CRO is looking to cut costs. The most costs go into CRA salaries.
Sure.
And travel time, right?
Mm-hmm. Labor.
Yeah. And they make more than project managers, the CRAs. They are now, because of... So the CRA, using her as an example, she said now she only goes to the site, she goes less often, and she only reviews... certain things that the algorithm tells her to.
Mm-hmm.
Everything else is still reviewed, but it's now reviewed by other people that never go to the site. They just sit at their computers and they email the site when they notice something,
mm-hmm.
which all of that the CRA used to do.
Mm-hmm.
But now that's being fragmented into, she said, 5 different roles, mm-hmm. including her. So 4 other ones and
right.
her.
Right.
Right? Those 4 other roles, they are entry-level positions.
Mm-hmm.
She even said they come in with they get a week of training, and then they're asked to do these things, and then sometimes they go out with her to do monitoring visits, and she has to sign off on them, she mm-hmm. called it, mm-hmm. right? Which means basically check their work and make sure that it's suitable to be on a report so that the sponsor can read it. Because
mm-hmm.
the sponsors now have to read every monitoring report
mm-hmm.
because the FDA said after the GCP revisions in 2016 that the sponsors have to have oversight of their studies.
Yeah.
So this all stems from that too.
Mm-hmm.
But then you compound it with technology and all that and business, supply and demand.
Mm-hmm.
So you used to have one CRA, highly paid, doing all 5 of those positions. Now you have one CRA, still highly paid because they can't give them up yet.
Right.
But now you have 4 other people that they have to pay. Not as much, obviously, but they're willing to do it for much less. What do you think is going to happen to that one CRA eventually over the years?
Yeah, of course, they'll find a way to replace that person eventually.
Because those other 4 will start getting paid more and asked to do a little more, and ultimately... the average salary of a CRA will decrease. Supply and demand.
And be replaced, I think, eventually.
Yes, eventually. But you'll start seeing salary, average salary for CRA going down.
As soon as, like you said with SDR, as soon as they come up with some sort of way to simplify SDR, and I'm sure they will eventually, once they come up with a way to simplify SDR, you can hire a high school graduate then and pay them a lot less.
But as with all disruptions, it opens up many opportunities. So, sorry, experienced CRAs.
What opportunities?
Those four other people. They're all employed now.
Sure, but they're, like you said, 10 years ago, they're employed at a lesser rate.
Sure, 10 years ago, they wouldn't have been employed at all.
Well, I don't think that's necessarily true, but...
Not by that CRO, they wouldn't be.
That's probably true.
All right?
Sure.
That's opportunity. And, by the way, I know you know this, but some of Guru Nation doesn't, because some don't even know the difference between CRC and CRA, apparently.
Yeah.
According to some of our calls. I forgot what I was going to say.
Something I know that some of the Guru Nation may not.
That's right. I just lost my train of thought. Basically, supply and demand. Right?
Okay.
Sorry, CRAs. You know, you're probably... We reached the peak of what you're going to earn.
Pay range.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, that doesn't mean you can't be a freelancer and... Just like Shanae from our CRA Academy. She's a contract CRA.
But as they move more into this, these delegated roles, they're going to get rid of contract work too.
I think so. But I think they will keep like small Navy SEAL type unit. Like, so they won't need an army anymore because they'll have like army of drones or lower paid people. But they will have elitists that go in like... They call it, one of the students actually taught me this because he was asked in an interview, SWAT team. Okay.
Really?
Yeah, they go in like to problem sites that are about to get FDA audited and they'll help clean up SWAT. So you can't hire like entry level for this. You need somebody like Shanae.
Sure, it's very experienced and...
They'll still make big money. Maybe they'll even get paid more.
Sure, but they'll need a lot less of those because how many FDA audits are there?
Exactly. That's my point.
Yeah.
Navy SEALs, you don't need to have as many as you have in the Army.
I mean, at best, you get 3 sites audited in a study.
Probably. So what's the lesson for the CRAs out there? Don't take your job for granted. The writing is on the wall. You better be damn good and irreplaceable. And then you actually earn more.
Maybe.
For the best ones.
Sure. Yeah, maybe.
But it also is good news for all the entry-level people.
See, the problem, and, you know, I mean, people have been concerned about this for quite some time. The problem is technology is not just this industry. It's all industries.
This is the slowest to adapt.
Yeah, you're probably the safest in this industry, relatively speaking, to other industries, right?
For now, yes.
Semi-truck drivers are going to be gone in 5 years, right? They're going to have automated... semi-truck drivers.
Yep.
I heard the number. It's quite a large amount of people are employed driving trucks. It's like a tenth of the nation or something.
Yeah, and taxi driver and Uber drivers in 10 years will be gone.
Right. So, I mean, it's coming for everybody.
Yes.
Unfortunately.
This is the last...
Or fortunately, I mean, depending on where you stand.
Well, this is one of the last industries, and I'm not going to speak about other industries because I don't know the ins and outs. But I know in research... If they start fragmenting what a CRA used to do into 5 different roles with one CRA, that's sort of like the team captain.
Right.
Okay, yeah, that CRA will get paid a little less and over the years less, more and more and less, right? But their quality of life will increase.
It'll improve, sure, because they'll be spending less time. Instead of working 70-hour weeks, now they can work 40.
They can work normal hours and not travel as much and see their families and stuff.
Yep.
Right? But those other 4 positions that would have never been open are now open to entry-level people.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're a graduate of the CRA Academy or one of these other programs, most of them are crap, but there's 1 or 2 other good ones, you have better odds of getting hired as an entry-level.
Sure, there's a lot more entry-level positions out there.
A lot more. She even, the CRA said that.
Yep.
And she's frustrated, and her colleagues are all frustrated that it took them so much effort to get hired back in the day. And now these people are just getting hired right away with no experience, and then she's expected to train them while her pay is... And she didn't mention that her pay is decreasing, but she said that she sees that.
Right.
Remember this?
Yeah.
So, got me thinking, okay? Supply and demand, technology always brings new opportunities. Not everyone's going to be happy, but tough. Like, the market really could care less whether you're happy or not. It's looking for efficiencies. And it's not the way we monitor studies now is not efficient. You send how many CRA? We're in California, where we're sitting.
Mm-hmm.
How many CRAs over the decade that you've been doing this have come from the other coast?
Sure.
Or sometimes even from another country.
Yeah, but that country's not far from us.
Brazil. There was a monitor from Brazil.
Oh, that's true. You're right. Yeah.
See, you're not remembering the ones from years ago. This one was this year.
Yeah.
You forget.
Yeah, I mean, we've had other monitors from Mexico, but that's not nearly as far away.
But more commonly, we have monitors from the East Coast and Texas.
Sure.
You think that's efficient?
Kentucky, yeah.
Is that efficient?
No, of course not. But that's more on the CRO response because they haven't hired enough employees in the region.
Right. And there's a shortage of qualified people that could be CRAs. There's no way around it. There's a shortage of experienced CRAs.
Sure.
So the strategy is have one experienced one, like this gal we spoke to, surround them with four newbies. All four of their salaries probably don't even match that one CRA salary. And then hope that one of those four is going to be the next her.
Yeah.
And the other two, one may quit, and then the other two will be like average data review people.
Mm-hmm.
Like that never visit sites, but sit at their computer and check things and help feed the algorithm.
Sure.
So that eventually the algorithm can replace them too. But that'll be like 2040, 2050. Maybe sooner.
Hard to say.
Just saying, supply and demand, supply and demand, supply and demand. So these smart CRAs are looking for ways to either improve their skill set, right? Like add more therapeutic indications,
mm-hmm.
get more contract positions, do like side hustles, consulting. Sure. Sometimes the CRA, their employers don't allow that, but they do it anyways. Other times they just go out and open their own sites.
Mm-hmm. We have a number of clients that are CRAs.
Most of our newest clients are former CRAs, right? Or current CRAs.
I don't know about most, but a significant amount.
And do you think they're reading the writing on the wall without maybe having thought about it or articulated it?
I think for our, other than the person we spoke with today, I think most, they're just tired of being a CRA. It's hard work.
So forget all the technology, it's just they're stressed out.
Yep. I think that's the majority of the rationale for our clients that are CRAs currently. But I wouldn't be surprised if a few...
But I don't think... I don't think just because you're a CRA, you will make a good site owner.
No, of course not. Of course not. We've had some experience with CRAs that we have doubt. We've had clients that were CRAs that were horrible.
Horrible?
Site owners.
Yeah.
One comes to mind in particular.
Yeah, one comes to mind as well. It's probably the same.
Could be.
So what do you think? Did we scare them enough? You're either scared, or you already knew it, or now you better know, or you're not in the industry at all, and you're like, yes, this is amazing. Now I have better chance of getting hired. If I enroll in the CRA Academy, which starts September 10th, 2018, for $3,000, get 3 months of experience, get some internship, and now you're way ahead of the entry-level people that you're up against, right?
Absolutely.
And once you're in there, then you could be work your way up to a CRA or a project manager. I don't think the project manager position is going away. What they're actually doing with the PMs, which we haven't even talked about, but this lady who we spoke to mentioned it, mm-hmm. the PMs are now also surrounded by three or four assistants. that do different things.
I think
for this to replace them too.
Sure. And I think the handwriting's on the wall for, unfortunately, probably almost everybody. Eventually, technology is going to replace you.
Eventually, the sites will be in trouble too, but that's later.
I don't mean just the research industry. I mean every industry. I think handwriting's on the wall, right? I mean,
have you heard of in silico trials? Mm-hmm. So one of my clients for my digital marketing, I'll give them a shout out. They're actually in Spain, but I didn't go visit them on my trip because they're in a different city. It was far. They basically do digital image analysis of like brains, tumors, different things like for the bones. So they'll look at biomarkers, not in the blood, but on the image.
Okay.
All right. And they do it in real time. What he's saying is what they want to do is for every single human, they want to create a digital clone, like a digital twin. Mm-hmm. So they'll scan everything they can of you. Right now they can do your brain, your lungs, but eventually they'll do everything, right?
Mm-hmm.
And with your digital twin, obviously you change over time, but that digital twin is your snapshot of you today.
Sure.
They can run simulations on that twin, clinical trial, and get results without even having humans involved, other than getting scanned,
mm-hmm.
and no sites involved, really.
Yeah.
Crazy, right?
Sure.
And yeah, sounds like science fiction. I think we're like 20, 30 years away from that. But they're already talking about it at the big JP Morgan conference. It's this big, they have a biotech conference every year.
Mm-hmm.
They talk about that. They're writing white papers on this. That's how it starts.
Absolutely. I mean,
that's how the Federal Reserve Bank started. White papers.
Sure.
Alexander Hamilton started. And then 200 years later, they implemented it.
Now,
he wrote about that in 1790. I just read his book. 1790, he laid the foundation with dozens of 400 plus page white papers of why having a central bank is needed.
Mm-hmm.
200 years later, the Federal Reserve, 150 years later.
130, you put.
Whatever. The Federal Reserve was created.
Right.
And that was back then when things moved slower.
Sure.
Now you write a white paper, 10 years from now it could be implemented.
Sure.
Or even sooner.
Yeah, I mean, oftentimes movies are replicated as well. I mean, have you seen the movie Prometheus?
I think so.
In that movie, they have a chamber you get in. It diagnoses what's wrong with you, and then it performs whatever's necessary, the robot.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's coming too. I'm sure something like that is coming eventually.
But that's like the digital twin with they call it the in silico trials.
Yeah.
So no one's safe, but the first ones to go are going to be the CRAs. And again, they're not going to go, but their job will not be the same as it was in 2004, in 2024.
Again, we're all getting replaced by technology in all industries.
Right.
I don't think it's something to be concerned about because it's going to happen to everybody.
And it will open up new jobs.
For a while.
At least in this industry. I'm not going to talk about other industries.
Sure. For a while, it will open up new jobs.
For a while.
Eventually, AI will take over everything.
But we only live like 80 years and we only work, what, 40?
Probably more than that, but yeah.
Okay. So how many disruptions are you going to see in that span? Like, that will affect that person's career. Two or three. Maybe four.
Maybe none if you're lucky, but yeah.
Maybe none. I doubt it. I doubt none anymore. But yeah. One or two big ones.
Sure.
Right? So you got to adapt. Open a site. Go work for a sponsor. Go try to be one of these Navy SEAL specialists.
Sure.
For the CROs, right? Consultant. You can't just be a regular CRA and expect that your salary is going to keep increasing.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to happen. These people are trying to make profits.
Yeah. Labor is one of the biggest walls in their place.
Anything else? Because I'm done.
No. What was it you were going to say that you forgot?
I can't remember. No.
Okay.
No.
Yeah.
We're done.
Yeah. I don't think that CRAs have anything to be concerned about any more than anybody else in any other industry, honestly.
I think a CRA has more to be worried about than a coordinator.
That's probably true.
But if you look at everything in context, The average CRA salary is what? Like in the 90,000s? The average coordinator salary is in the 50s? So
probably a little higher for CRAs, I would guess.
Okay. So the average CRA salary is 100. The average coordinator salary is 50.
I think it's closer to 110.
Okay, whatever. Okay. Find a number you like. 110?
Yeah.
The average coordinator salary is 50?
Yeah, I would say that's probably
about. So the CRAs have a lot more to worry about, yet if you look at it, at the grand scheme of things, they make double.
Right.
So do they really?
They work a lot more too, typically.
Yeah.
So their salary may come down a bit. It'll still be higher than a coordinator, but they'll have more free time.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think that's the handwriting on the wall for CRA.
Nah, we can end it on a positive note.
Sure.
You'll have a happier life.
As long as you can get by with $30,000 a year less, probably, yeah.
Take that $30,000 a year now while you're still making it.
Right.
And invest in something smart. Real estate.
Yeah.
A clinic.
Yeah.
A consulting company.
Bitcoin.
Seriously. Or don't do anything and stick your head in the sand.
Yeah, that's always worked for some.
Yeah.
Ignorance is bliss, right?
That's right. Red or the blue pill. You guys decide. Thank you for listening, watching. You have anything else to add? I'm done.
No, I think
we're covered. The 160s are over with. Finally, that's a wrap. Take care, everybody. So hey everybody, thank you very much for listening to another episode of Random Musings from the Clinical Trials Guru. Again, if you haven't already, make sure you subscribe to this podcast. Make sure you leave a review, if you could be so kind, please. And also go to theclinicaltrialsguru.com if you're interested in learning more about who I am, who some of my guests are. You can have access to some of my YouTube videos. I do a lot of videos about clinical research. So go to theclinicaltrialsguru.com. And you can also call or text me anytime, 949-415-6256. Also follow me on any social media platform. It's Dan Svera. And you can also email me if you'd like, dan@theclinicaltrialsguru.com. Thank you very much.